It's all about following your dreams. And I tell people that all the time, because everyone has this big idea about real estate. It's the only vehicle. Everyone wants to be a real estate investor. And what's the why behind your why? Like, really, what is it? Why do you really want to be in real estate? Do houses excite you that much, or are you chasing the dollar? If you're chasing the dollar, you got to find something that you're passionate about to get that dollar. If you don't care anything about it, you don't know how to make money. I have a friend that sells health insurance. The guy does very well. He makes a ton of money. That bores me to freaking tears. I don't care if I made $1 billion a year doing it. I wouldn't do it. I'd rather just work at McDonald's. Like, I sat there getting health insurance the one day, and I couldn't get out there fast enough. I'm like, I don't want to fill this stuff out. It's so boring. So I think the action steps are just find something that keeps you up at night, gets you up in the morning, gets you excited, and then you never have to work a day in your life. Then it's all fun.
This is Taking Action Today with Michael Alder, episode 23. I'm hanging with Rob the House Guy. Man, what's up, everybody? It's another great episode here. How great is this? I mean, every week we hang out with new entrepreneurs. None of these guys are trust funds babies that we've had in the studio. Everybody's self-made. They took massive action, and here we are. And today, I will not disappoint. I have Rob the House Guy in, and we're going to talk about his real estate investment journey and his trash to cash strategy, which is great for our Cleveland market. So let's dive right into this. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on.
Thank you. Now, you have utilized several different strategies and have been involved in over 1,000 deals in your real estate investing career. And you had mentioned to me that you have a trash to cash investing strategy. But before we even get into that, will you take us back and share with us how you got started investing in real estate?
Oh, my goodness. How much time do we have?
Yeah, let's just roll with it. We'll do the fast forward, or we'll do the long version.
I'll try to keep it quick and to the point and be real with you. When I started out, I was a young kid. My mom, a single mother, always told me, why don't you buy a double, live at home, and rent it out? So from the time I was in eighth grade, I remember always saying, I'm going to be a landlord, to the point that my friends were making fun of me because we had a fort in the backyard. And they go, oh, you're going to be a slumlord. It's going to be like this fort. That's what you're going to be renting out. And so I kept going, and I got out of school, and I went through a tool and die apprenticeship, and I was at Modern Tool and Die. And I was making about $50,000 a year, third year apprentice. Everything was going well. And I'd started buying houses. And I bought my first one with a real estate agent. And then I bought another one. And then two doubles on one lot, then a single. I got to about 13 properties. And I was just burned out. I was trying to work 50 hours a week, run these properties, do side work, because I was just buying conventional and putting money down and everything. And I decided to quit my job. And I quit my job, and I realized that I was over leveraged and had overpaid for all my properties. I didn't have a job. I couldn't get financing anymore. And I thought I was done. And I just turned it around and started networking, meeting people, and realized that the way I'm going to make it can't be buying homes just through real estate agents at retail. I got to find the best off-market deals on the planet. And I worked hard and started doing that and started wholesaling deals. And that's been about 18 years ago. And that's the short version of it.
Yeah, it's awesome. And so many people can relate to that, because I think a lot of us have jumped into real estate. We all use conventional financing, over-finance the deals. And then you hit that point where you're like, oh, what the heck did I just get myself into? I'm negative cash flow. Or I don't know if you were negative cash flowing, but I know I was in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you realize what was going wrong, and rather than folding, you started looking for off-market deals and negotiating like crazy. Can you talk about a little bit of the marketing on how you were finding these deals?
Well, the first deal I found was, I had found a deal. I went to my local real estate investment association group, and I went to one down in Akron, actually. And I didn't even know these things existed. Someone just said, hey, there's these things called REIA groups, and it's where real estate investors hang out. And I'm like, well, geez, if that's where they're hanging out, that's where I should hang out. Because I'm kind of like a ready, fire, aim type of guy. I just jumped into this both feet saying, I've always wanted to buy houses, so why buy one or two? Let's just keep buying them. And I quit my job. And when you're making 50 grand a year with retirement and full benefits and everything, that's a lot to walk away from when you're, you know, in your early 20s and things. And that was a lot of money in the mid 90s. So I went down to the Akron Canton REIA and started networking, and I found a hard money lender. And a hard money lender was upside down on a property in Cleveland. Someone left him hanging on it. And he said, Rob, listen, I got this house over there in Cleveland. Maybe you can help me out. That's your area, because I'm down in Akron. And I said, well, sure, let's take a look at it. What do you want me to do? And he said, well, do you think you could find someone who would want to buy this thing? And if so, all I need is $8,000, and I'll finance it for him even. It doesn't matter. and you can just keep anything above that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I was freaking out because I just paid like $76,000 for my double.
Right.
And I'm like eight. I'm like eight. Oh my gosh. It's like, what's in my car? So, I went and I locked it in contract and I learned all about assigning an equitable interest in a contract at that point. I found a guy that had, shown an interest in real estate. And I sold him my contract for $2,000. I'm like, and I thought that was all the money in the world, like $2,000. I mean, I used to work all week for $1,000, you know, then take taxes out of that. So I was like blown away that I could do this. And then I was off and running. Then I took the house across the street and I said, I get it for 10. And I went to the guy and I said, how about 12? And I ended up taking a note on that house and I never got my $2,000 to this day. It's kind of fun. You know, it's funny that I haven't talked to that guy in 15 years. I've not talked 18 years now. I haven't talked to that guy. How long it's been. And, I just connected with him on Facebook about 2 weeks ago. I'm like, oh my gosh, the guy I sold the second house to. He found me on there, and so I'm going to have coffee with him. And I don't think I'm going to bug him about his $2,000.
Well, I mean, you should explain to him, you know, that most guys around here are getting 18% on their money. So, you know, over this time frame, he's owed you a tremendous amount.
Yeah, he had actually flipped me some other houses and done some stuff. We did some more business since then, so I made more than enough with this guy. I'm happy.
Nice.
Yeah, for like a six-month period, he was a rock star. Then he just disappeared.
That's an awesome story. Now, if you don't mind backing up just a little bit for the listeners out there, you know, you assigned your contract. Can you give us a little breakdown of how that works?
Well, here's what I did. I went out initially just buying these houses. I was going conventional financing, putting money down, getting a note and mortgage on it, and renting them out. Your payments, $600 a month, and then you'd have a double. It's rented out at $450 each side, so you get $900 a month. So theoretically, you should be getting $300 a month cash flow. That was the normal way of doing real estate. That's all I was told. And I didn't really have a mentor. I just had a butt kicker, my mom, that said, go buy real estate. There really wasn't a game plan or anything behind it. Just buy real estate. And that's what I wanted to do. So through assigning a contract, what I did, I found this house for $8,000. And I agreed to buy this house for $8,000 in a specific amount of time. I think it was 30 days. And what I did is I went to someone and said, hey, you're interested in this house. I can buy it for $8,000. Would you like to buy my contract from me for $2,000? And then you can buy it for $8,000. So you're into it for a total of 10. And guess what? If you give me the $2,000, the guy I have to get the eight to, he's willing to even finance you on that. So you're buying a house for $2,000 plus payments with no credit check. What do you think? And they were all over it.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet setup right there. It'd be difficult to not sell that one. So that was great.
Right. Yeah. So then, yeah, I did one and two and three. And that's how the numbers got real big real quick.
And it just kept growing.
Yeah, and I went, graduated from making two per house to four to 10, and, you know, then I started making some good money per house. Then it kind of back down, and, you know, five or six, 8,000 is where it ended up being per deal after a while as an average.
That's a great average right there. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, not bad. I can't, you know, can't complain about it.
Excellent. Now, you were telling me about this trash to cash investing strategy, and this sounds like something that I'm involved with as well, so I'm excited to hear about this. Can you get into this for us?
Well, Mike, you and I are both... even though we do national things, we're both situated right here in beautiful, sunny Cleveland, Ohio.
Right. And,
I can't say a lot of great things about Cleveland other than the real estate market is the top market on an international level. It is amazing. And you can buy things in the inner city of Cleveland for relatively inexpensive, heck, less than a car, basically, and get top dollar rents out of them. And some of these homes have been abandoned and sitting there and beat up and rentals that have been neglected. And you can take these trash houses, basically, and turn them into cash through wholesaling them or buying them and turning them into income-producing assets to resell as a turnkey unit to a passive investor that just wants a nice monthly cash flow. So that's really kind of where I came up with the name, Trash to Cash. And I don't normally always just do inner-city properties, but I do my fair share of them. I sell packages of five at a time and try to turn them around and, you know, better communities, get people that are going to pay the real estate taxes and take care of the places and create nice cash flow for their portfolio.
Yeah, this is perfect time to touch base on this too, because I actually have a friend out in Los Angeles and she called me today. She started investing in Cleveland real estate and we did both a fix and flip basically. And then we've also done just wholesaling these trash to cash properties. And she called me today and she's like, you know what, Mike, you know, we've done both, but I'd rather just do, you know, the wholesaling of these cheap properties. And, you know, what better day to be on the line with you where you're going to share the strategies on this. So let's get into this. You just said you sell, you know, packages of five. Are you, how are you buying these? Who are you selling them to? Obviously you don't have to give us their name and number, but you know, we want to talk about the marketing end of this.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's funny you ask this. And if it's okay, if I have permission, Mike, I'm just going to be completely 100% real with your listeners. I'm not a guru. I'm not going to sell you a bill of goods and a bunch of fluff and make you think that this is the easiest business in the world. Overnight, you're going to get rich. I'm going to tell you the good, bad, and ugly. Is that okay?
I love it. That's what we like around here.
Good, good. So here's the deal. What we used to do, the market is changing so much. And I don't mean the real estate market. I mean the laws and regulations and everything keep changing and changing and changing. And wholesaling homes, selling, signing contracts, when I started out, heck, I was assigning bank-owned properties. They didn't care. You'd be at REO, I'd assign that contract, and it's fine. Well, that kind of went away, and other things went away. And now it's to a point that we do, our packages, we are closing on them. We are physically closing things and reselling them because the Department of Real Estate in Ohio is frowning upon assignments of contract. They're not liking them as much as they used to. They're saying it's unlicensed activity. It's huge controversy. If you talk to OREA, they're going to say it's absolutely legal, and the law reads that it's legal. I agree that too. However, they make enough of a stink about it that they're pushing people into getting a license or closing on the properties first. So I've decided to do both. I close on properties, and I'm in the process of getting a license for it too, because I'm doing higher volume now in the inner city. So I'm not doing the assignments any longer, but it is a loophole in the system that you can use. And that's kind of where it is for structuring the deal. Let's talk about now actually what we're doing with how we are selling them.
Great.
As we're putting them in the packages, there's investors with self-directed IRAs and 401ks. There's out-of-country investors that want a piece of American real estate. But the key is management. If you're going to sell turnkey properties that are income producing, you've got to have a tight manager in place, because the last thing that a surgeon wants to do is go collect rent on a Saturday and someone from Abu Dhabi is not going to come over here and fix a faucet. So we have a ironclad management system we happen to use. It's attorney owned here in Cleveland, not the only management system in town. There's plenty of other companies that do it. I just happen to use one that works out very well. And you know, it keeps the properties up and running well, so the people stay happy and they buy more properties from us.
Now, when you're buying these, you're buying bulk REOs from the bank directly, and then when you're selling them to your out-of-town investors, are you just turning these at this point, or are you actually rehabbing them for these investors and then placing the management and selling it to them?
Okay, let me back you up on that. First of all, I don't buy anything off the MLS.
That's what I like to hear. All right.
MLS is like going shopping on Black Friday. You're saying, hey, look, there's a 42-inch flat-screen TV for $99. Yeah, good luck going and get it. You got to tackle people to get to that TV, and it's never there. If you see a great deal on the MLS, it's in multiple offers and you're not going to get it. It's going to be above listing price by the time you get to the thing.
Right.
So out of probably 96 deals, I think I did one year, and I did one off the MLS out of 96. So
wow. All right.
We do a lot of off-market stuff. I go after expired listings. I go after landlords that are disgruntled. I like landlords because I'm going to give you guys a lot of secrets just because this is a national show and just not a Cleveland show. So I don't mind sharing as much. I don't share this a lot in my market because I don't want to build my competition. I'm actually going to Chicago tomorrow. I'm speaking to Chicago Arena, 200 members, all about finding off-market deals. That's the whole big spiel. They're bringing me in for that. So I wouldn't give that same speech in Cleveland. one of my things I like doing are landlords. Landlords are never stagnant. They're like water. They're always moving. There's no one you're ever going to meet that's a landlord that has two rental properties and says, I'm very happy with two. Thanks for calling. No, they either want rid of them because they hate them, or they want to buy more because they think that it's the great business plan for them. So you can either find them, you can always sell them houses or buy their existing ones. So they're always a great source for doing deals. Going after expired listings, a lot of forced sell by owners. Just chase eviction court. I get those. I've got a strong yellow letter campaign that pulls 8% response and less than $1 a unit to get them taped right to the front door. Works real well for me.
Oh, you actually tape them door to door rather than mail them?
Yeah, we use Google Streets and Maps, and I pay people per unit to go out and actually hang them, and they're very specific to what that door is, and they look like they're handwritten. Better than any system that you could ever possibly imagine that's out there on the market. The way we produce these things, and it basically says, hey, I was driving by and I noticed that your house was for rent. Would you be interested in selling it for cash? Give me a call. Or I noticed your listing expired, or I noticed you have housing violations. Whatever it is, it's very specific to their situation. We tape it right to the glass so it doesn't pull paint off the door when they pull it off.
Yeah, good call.
We get an 8% response on those. So if we get 100 of those out in a 6-hour period, less than $1 a unit, and getting 8 calls. So if you're getting, just do the math on that, if you're getting 8 calls a day times 5 days in a week, that's 40 inbound calls you're getting in a week. And that in so 40 calls in 1 week over a 4 week period, that's 160 calls a month. And if you can't do some deals off 160 people that called you a month, then you have a problem with your negotiations or with your offers or something, because you will do deals off of that.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. So you got, what was it, 160 calls coming in roughly?
Well, no, I mean, that I'm saying if you do that, I never push it that hard. I'll do some yellow letters. I do some direct mail. I've been in the business for 18 years, so I get tons and tons of referrals. I'm big on a game of farming and not hunting. So once I know your house for sale, I stay in touch with you and stay in front of you. And I might not get your deal today, but I'll get that deal in 6 months. So I get far more than 160 calls, but they're not all from one source.
Great. The fortune's in the follow-up. I like hearing that, because that's been an ongoing thing around here. And a lot of people don't listen to that. You know, they give up once they hear no. And unfortunately, if you stick with them, like you just said, you know, it might be 6 weeks down the road, but you will get the deal eventually.
Oh, no is not the end. No is the beginning. And if I'm sorry, I'm opposed to the G-rated show, but I'm going to use an example out there. So you might have to turn it off. But think about this, Mike. You know, you're in college, you go out on a date. It's no different than picking your date up on the first time, opening the car door for putting it in there, shutting the door and saying, so do you want to go to a hotel and have sex? She's going to say, no, if I slap you, get out of the car. You got to cultivate that relationship a little bit. Take her to dinner, take her to a movie, call her for a week or two, go out, show her you're in for the long haul. And then if you ask that question again in 3 or 4 weeks, there's a good chance she'll say, my gosh, Holiday Inn, I love it. And it's the same thing with a seller. You go in, I get people that call me on houses. They've never seen the house, never met me. In the first 30 seconds, they're offering me half of what I'm asking and expecting me to send them over a purchase agreement. You know what? Come look at the house. Talk to me. Let me hear your story. A young kid getting started. Let's both make some money. Let's make this happen. Develop a relationship and not do one deal together, but do 100 deals together.
That's beautiful. Real estate is a romance game then.
Yes. Oh, I like that. Real estate.
Yeah.
Head down. I'm going to use that.
Break that out in Chicago.
Heck yeah, my real estate romance. That's going right in my presentation.
Beautiful. Do that.
So that's really what the thing is. So when someone tells me no, that is really just the beginning for me. I'm going to put them on a text marketing follow-up, asking how their house is going, an email follow-up, direct mail follow-up, phone call follow-ups. It happens every 30, 60, 90, 180 days, all the way to 365 days. And our conversion rate is pretty high at that point.
That's great. I appreciate you stressing that, because I think that's one of the biggest factors in real estate. People, you know, they buy the book, they go to the seminar, they hear all the hype and they are pumped. And then they get the door slammed in their face and they say, this stuff doesn't work. And they go home and they go back to their 9-to-5 where they're miserable, unfortunately, you know?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And it really is. It's all about the follow through and the follow up. And that's with any business. That'd be like even Amway. And I'm not an MLM follower and I'm not involved in any of them, but I am pretty darn certain if you got involved in Amway and you worked the system like they told it and you didn't give up and you followed through and did everything, you could make a living doing it.
Right.
I mean, but people buy this system and then they go home and they offer one person toilet paper saying, I'll ship it to your house or however it works. I don't know. I'm pitching all the time. And then they say, well, it didn't work. I only made 35 cents that month. Well, keep doing it.
Right.
It's the same with houses. I mean, if you're not getting any deals, it's because you're not making any offers.
So true. Yeah. And, you know, that's another thing we stress around here. Just throw crazy stuff out there to start the conversation. At least I say that a lot, you know, because a lot of people, the back and forth, the sellers will make me an offer and then they get scared to make what the offer they truly feel it should be. So they just back away and don't even make the offer. Just go ahead and make it. You never know what somebody's going to say yes to.
Exactly. If you're not embarrassed of the offer you're making, you're offering too much.
That's a great point.
It should be hard to roll off your tongue. Like, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. This is crazy. And then you say it. You'd be amazed. I can't tell you how many deals like this. People that thought, I had this one woman starting out $20,000 on a house in the hood. It was sitting vacant. She is a little bit behind on property taxes and had like a $3,000 credit card judgment on or something. And she's telling me she needs $20,000 for this. And she's going on. It's been on the market. I go, how many offers you had? And she's like, well, none. How many people just looked at it? We've had like 10 people look at it and nobody offered you anything. Nobody says, I'll give you a pack of gum for it. Like, right. No.
Start the conversation at least.
Yeah. She kind of laughs and she goes, so what are you going to offer? I go, I'm offering to just let you give it to me. Why don't you just give me the house? And she's like, well, what do you mean? Why would I just give it to you? I go, what are you going to do with it? You've had people look at it. No one's taking it. You're cutting the grass. You're not paying the taxes. Ultimately, the city's going to tear it down and give you a bill. Your credit card judgment's never going to get paid off. You're not going to do anything with this place. Just give it to me. I'll flip the thing out. At least you'll get your tax bill taken care of. It won't be an eyesore to the community, and your credit card judgment will get paid. It's like, all right, that sounds fair. She came in the office, signed a deed, and gave it to me.
Now, that's a great story there. And, you know, the listeners need to soak that in. Like, you've literally had people give you houses for asking.
Yeah, give me houses. That's not an isolated case. I had another guy. I had a guy with a 12 unit out in California. Called me. The thing was rented in January, but had poor management. By March, the thing was completely vacant and torn up, stripped out, destroyed. He calls me. He's like, Rob, what's going to be $50,000? By the end of that week, he just mailed me a deed.
So you wow.
He goes, you can just have the thing. He goes, I'm never going to do the work to it. He gave it to me, and I sold it as is and just disclosed everything and said, listen, it's a piece of crap. It needs a ton. And someone bought it from me, and I think I sold it for $8,000. Made $8,000.
Beautiful. $8,000 out of nothing. That's a trash to cash story.
Trash to cash. And it was. And here's the funny. Let me finish that story off with this. Hadn't talked to the guy in probably 3 years. I get a call, no joke, probably not more than 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's the guy I sold the building to. And he was another out-of-state kid. Some young kid out of state that I never thought would do a thing with this building. He calls me. And he's like, Rob, he goes, I'm ready for another building. I'm like, what? He goes, I finished that one off. We did everything. Boy, that was tough, just like you said it would be. But we made it happen. I came up there. I moved in one of the units for a while. We got it all turned around. The city loves me. It's all clean, running beautiful. And I've got some investors. We want to buy something else. So he really did turn this building around. So
yeah, that's all around success story there.
All around success story. So that happened in the last 60 days. I got to add that into one of my presentations, I guess.
Absolutely. And you got to find this kid another building. You don't want him going anywhere.
I know.
Exactly. And let's get into that then. So, you know, we talked about negotiating on the buying side, how to buy these properties. How are you marketing to sell these properties?
Well, in selling these properties, people are buying return on investment. They want something that's up, running, turnkey, that's showing an income, that's showing some seasoning, that the thing's making some money. And really you're finding people, at least I find it, you can do one of two ways. You can either A, bring in the newbie, somebody that's never bought real estate, that has a desire to own real estate, and because they either got excited at a seminar or watched late night TV or something happened, which those are okay. I don't like selling to the newbie so much because I don't want to have to explain everything to them. I don't want to have to go from the ground up and explain how landlording works and management works and the house and mortgages, because I want them to truly understand what they're getting into. I'd rather deal with a sophisticated investor, someone that already owns a bunch of properties in that area and they just want more and they're happy, or maybe they own properties in another city and I could show them how high our returns are here and they understand real estate as well as I do and they just wire money to the title company and buy it.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I really like to find the people that have already owned property. I have a magazine that I'll send out to people that are already owners in the Cleveland market. It's a Clevelander magazine, and anyone that's interested, I'll give my contact at the end, and I'll put you on the list and send you my magazine. It's all about insider information about investing in real estate in the Cleveland market.
That's great. Yeah, we'll definitely link to that.
Yeah, so it's pretty helpful. So people, even they're not buying from me, they're sitting on their throne, flipping through my magazine and talking about the west side of Cleveland, or talking about how they built the MedMart downtown, or talking about how to winterize a property here in Cleveland, or whatever it is. Yeah, and that's one way that we do it, is we find we find people that have already done stuff, and we try to market to them, and that works pretty well for us.
Perfect. So if you don't mind, walk me through your typical day then.
Oh, well, I get up around noon, and I have a champagne orange juice cocktail.
Man, straight rock star.
Yeah. Well, isn't that what I do? And I push the kids on the swing all day. Then I go to my yacht. Well, of course, I take my helicopter to my yacht. That's what you do in infomercials, right?
Right. That's what I was waiting for. I'm like, are we really doing this now? This is awesome.
Yeah, my typical day, my goodness, I get up pretty early. I start my day around 5:15, 5:30. Depending on the day, some days I hit the gym first. Some days I hit in the middle of the day, just depending on when it's going to be. But I like to work out quite a bit. I use a program called Trello, which is a free program. I'll throw that out. I'm not an affiliate because it's free. It's Trello. And it's the most magnificent thing to keep you on track during your day as far as like to-do list and being able to pass tasks on to other people. I have a virtual office from people all over the place so I can work from anywhere. And I'll go to Trello and I just look at all my tasks that I put in there have to be done. And it's broken down into different segments. and I'll pass them off to different folks I have doing things, whether my tech guy or someone that buys houses for me or someone that's closing deals. And I said, and I just pass them off into their to-do list, basically, and it holds them accountable. Then they pass it back to me, and I can see what they're doing. So I go through my Trello list and pass all that stuff around. And then some days I go look at some houses, but usually my stuff is done off of photos and videos anymore. And here recently, been getting more into producing content like this with my magazine. And I have a new podcast as well, askthehouseguy.com. It's the anti-guru thing where I just answer questions for nothing to people. This is called Ask the House Guy. So people that have real estate questions, instead of paying the tech support $50,000 for their course backup, they can just call and ask me and I'll answer it on air. So I've been doing a lot of content creation. And then, you know, I still have two young kids and hanging out with them quite a bit and going to school functions. That takes quite a time. And then that's about it. And go back to bed and start all over again the next day.
That's awesome. So you created the systems and you have the team members in place so you can manage all the extra things in your life right now. And let's talk about that Ask the House Guy real quick. Now, if we want to, so is it an answering service that you call in and ask your question on that and then you go ahead and reply in the air, or what's the plans?
What it is, it's actually a, I just started, that was like a week ago launching that. So we're still uploading last week's podcast on there. So it should be here live by, it's already up and running, but I don't know if we're really booming yet. Probably Thursday, Friday, we should be cranking on that pretty hard.
Great.
You call in to a number. It's 216-309-2844, and that's ATHG for Ask the House Guy. And if you can go to askthehouseguy.com, the number will be on there as well. And you just leave your message. It just says, hey, leave your message, leave your name and your contact information. So if we read your question on the air, I'm going to send you out a free gift. And they just leave the question. So I play that in at a later time. I just, people leave messages on there and then I'll answer the question, and it takes about 10 minutes, 12 minutes or something on the podcast, but it'd be lots and lots of topics and things that people can really get answers to quickly. So I've been putting the number out there a little bit like this. So I'm getting some just stragglers making the call in there, but I think once it gets going, I'll probably be overwhelmed with the amount and have to really pick and choose which answers I do.
Right. So, now, what can we, did you say this is going to be a weekly show or a daily show?
Daily. It'll be a daily show.
Wow. Okay.
So it'll be a daily show. I'll be recording them probably all at one time, just being transparent with you. I don't know how you do your podcast. It's all pretty new to me, but I'm going to be recording them in one day and then for the week. And then once a week as well, I'll be doing an interview series, just like you're doing here with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be interviewing somebody in the industry. Last week, I interviewed a mediator, actually, that we talked about mediating problems with tenants and landlords versus going to court. So some things like that that are really useful to the listeners. No sales pitch, nothing to buy, just normal.
Just delivering great content for the listeners?
That's it. Just giving content. Just giving true, honest content. With no BS, not sugar-coated, and not me telling you blowing sunshine and puppies and rainbows all over the place.
$100,000 on every deal.
Yeah, no, it's not like that.
No, this has been great, Rob. I appreciate your time on this. If you don't mind, can you give us some quick action steps so the listeners can start taking action on this today?
Well, that's great. On the spot, the way I would say that is whatever you decide you want to do in life, and real estate is not the only vehicle you can use, whether you're going to start a car lot or you're going to do a whatever, open a gun shop, whatever it is, write down what you want to do and take one step of action right away. Like, don't get up off your desk. Like, if you're sitting there listening to this podcast right now at your desk on your couch, do not get up from that spot until you take at least one piece of action so you're getting some momentum going towards doing it. So if you're going to, for instance, start a car lot, I want you, before you get up, to go online, if you have your computer there, and look up what does it take to get a dealership license in Ohio. And I'm just using cars as an example because I'm a big car guy, like cars a lot. But whatever it is you're going to do, take action right away. And I would absolutely, again, I'm going to promote Trello. Maybe they should give me a rip of this. Maybe use Trello as some sort of affiliate thing. I don't know.
There we go. We're going to sign you up first, and then we'll put the link in.
Yeah, for the free service. But Trello,
right.
They don't even sell ads on there. That's the greatest thing. There's no ads. It's truly just a free, awesome software.
Great.
Cool is you use it, and it goes on your iPad, your iPhone, your computer. It works with Macs, too. And whatever you change on one, it changes on all of them at the same time. So, but you can put stuff on there. So if you have an action plan, you put checklist on there. And you can upload things, and it keeps really track to keep you on track with alarms and stuff on getting your project done. It's kind of like the old Microsoft project. But just stay on point and have benchmarks along the way. Don't just eat that elephant one bite at a time. Don't say, I'm going to conquer the world. I'm going to buy a whole street. Put all your addresses there in a checklist and say, okay, I got this house. Now I got to get this one. Now I got to get this one until it fills the whole thing up.
No, that was awesome. And you, this has been highly motivating. You gave us some great action steps to take. Where can the listeners connect with you at?
Well, they can connect with me on email. You could email me to rob@robthehouseguy.com. You could call in if you have any questions at all real estate related. You could call the askthehouseguy.com, and that's going to be my podcast as well for Ask the House Guy. And that number is 216-309-2844. That's 216-309-2844. And those are probably the best ways to get me. Or I guess if you really, really wanted, you could just call my office, but that's going to be a lot harder to tie me down. So I'd rather just shoot me an email than try to track me down through all my people.
No, that's perfect. Hey, I appreciate your time, Rob. I'm going to link to everything in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening in today. For more tips on real estate investing and creating streams of passive income, stop by michaelalder.com or connect with me on Twitter at michaelalder34, or you can find me on Facebook. All right, everybody. Thanks, and let's take action today.